Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
Here are your hosts, Dave Adamson and Ashley Bohens.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? My name is Dave. I am one of the two hosts of the Think Orange podcast, but today I am flying solo in the Think Orange bunker. Our normal co-host, Ashley, is out doing something probably on the catwalks of Milan and Paris, for all I know. So I'm in here on my own. The only person around me, in fact, is our producer, Kevin's dad. He's looking through a little portal window right now, pressing his little face up against it. And it is, it's everybody who listens to this podcast on a regular basis. You know that our producer is Kevin. We normally call him just Producer Kevin. Well, his dad is now producing this show, and he is Kevin Sr. I don't know if he's got a microphone out there, but if he has, can you give us a hello, Kevin's dad?
Hello, Kevin's dad.
That's Kevin's dad. Hashtag Kevin's dad. Every time you tweet about the podcast from now on, I want you to use the hashtag Kevin's dad. He is an incredible man, and he is keeping me company in here today as I fly solo. Now, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, what we are all about is expressing ideas and having conversations that will help you influence the next generation. Now, that's whether you're a parent or if you're in student ministry or anything like that. That's really what this podcast is all about. And today is no different. In fact, today we are continuing with this incredible interview I got to do with Kerry Newhoff. Kerry is the founding pastor of Kinexus Church. He's also the host of the Kerry Newhoff Leadership Podcast. It is an award-winning podcast. It is Kevin's dad, do you listen to that?
Amazing podcast.
Yeah. Just try to maintain the enthusiasm. Kerry is also the author of Lasting Impact, the co-author of Parenting Beyond Your Capacity, which he wrote with the founder of Orange himself, Reggie Joyner. He's also a dad to two sons, and he's an incredible man. I got to interview him with Holly Crawshaw, who is the lead writer of Life Stage Strategies here at Orange. And last week, we talked about the first three of these five principles that will help the parents in your church and in your community. So if you have not listened to that one, I want to suggest go back right now, listen to part one, because that's where Kerry talks about the first three of the principles, which are widening the circle, imagining the end in mind, and fighting for the heart of your children. So today we're going to be picking up with part two of that interview, where he's going to reveal the last two principles. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I really enjoyed this interview. Now, before we get into that, I just want to mention that today's episode is brought to you by Phase Guides, an 18-part series of interactive journal-style books that simplify what parents need to know about each phase of a kid's life. I'm going to bring Kevin's dad in on this. Kevin's dad, you raised Kevin. Would it have been helpful for you to have these journals that would help you deal with every phase in Kevin's life?
I think it would have been amazing.
Again, try to maintain the enthusiasm. From birth to high school graduation, each guide gives parents the opportunity to discover more about their children. So help the parents in your church and community make the most of every phase. Just go to phaseguides.com, phaseguides.com for more information. Kevin's dad, what's that URL?
Phaseguides.com.
Geez, you are just highly caffeinated today. So we're going to continue with this interview we did with Kerry Newhoff. And here's the interesting thing. I don't know if you knew this, Kevin's dad, but there are approximately 936 weeks from the time a child is born until he or she graduates from high school. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
You are just so mellow. I love it. It goes by so fast. I know this. I've got three teenage daughters, and it feels like only yesterday that they were toddlers and that we were changing diapers and things like that. But now they're 13, 15, and 17. It goes by so fast. And they just change and grow so quickly. Was that your experience with Junior?
Yes.
Kevin's dad, you are the absolute best. You and I need to get some more coffee into us. And while we do that, I'm going to throw it right now to the last part of the interview that Holly Crawshaw and I did with the one and only Kerry Newhoff. Hey, Hey, we're back here with Kerry Newhoff, Holly Crawshaw. My name is Dave. I'm a dad of three teenage girls. We're all parents sitting around the table, and we've been discussing these five key principles that you have written in a fantastic book that can be picked up, Parenting Beyond Your Capacity. Now, last time, we spoke about widening the circle, imagine the end, and fight for the heart. And if you haven't heard those, if you're listening to this and you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the previous episode before you come and listen to this one, because it's super important. And Kerry is now going to start talking about what it means to have rhythm in your life as a parent. But before we hear from Kerry, I just want to get a little bit more info from you, Holly, because I know you're a mom, but
I am a mom. That's
you're
right.
Actually a more developing mom, right?
I am. I'm. Do you call it like 2.5 kids? I have 2 daughters, yep. And then 1 daughter due in a few months. So
wow,
I'm
that's
extra,
awesome.
extra pregnant.
Wow,
Dave.
I know your whole situation so well.
Yeah, I was going to say you have 3 teenage daughters.
Yes.
So maybe I'll be sitting across from you at the next podcast.
Yeah, we should have coffee sometime soon, and your family and my family get together. We'll figure that out.
That'd
but we
great.
Are sitting here with Kerry Newhoff, who is a dad himself. He has 2 grown sons now.
Yeah.
But you're also the lead pastor of Connexus Church, which is a North Point partner church. You are the host of the Kerry Newhoff Leadership Podcast. You're an author. You're a former radio DJ. You are a former lawyer. You've got such great credentials, right?
And you're Canadian, right?
And he's Canadian.
I'm Canadian.
What's That's the right. greatest thing about Canada?
Oh, there is so much. I would have to say... What would it be?
The metric system.
All the the metric system. Actually, it's not that bad. I'm bilingual, though. They changed it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love the water, the lakes. Yeah. We're boaters. It's amazing. We have, it's just beautiful, beautiful country.
I've never
people,
been.
And people
he's got
are
a cool,
nice.
And he's got a cool accent.
Yeah, can you? I don't. Come on, you're
cool
the guy with
accent.
The accent.
No,
I don't have an accent at all.
Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Are you Sydney or Melbourne?
I'm Melbourne.
Melbourne.
I don't
Melbourne,
have a,
Australia.
See,
I'm not even going to try an accent. Mm-hmm. I'm from Georgia. I'm from a small town.
See, but
North
you've
Georgia.
Got an accent. To me, this is the whole thing. I don't think I have an accent. I always say, I didn't realize I had an accent till I moved to America. So my accent is America's gift to me. That's what I always say. But Kerry, let's get into this. Let's dive straight in. You talked about widening the circle, imagine the end, fight for the heart. And now we're going to talk about rhythm and what it means to have rhythm when it comes to parenting.
Yeah. Well, we touched on this very briefly, but you know, everybody thinks I have no rhythm in my family. Life is chaotic, you know, with smartphones. I'm always on. The boss can text me any time of the day or night. Mm-hmm. Like there's no rhythm. Our kids are just in this chaotic stage. Nobody respects their bedtime.
Yeah.
You know, all that. None of us are bosses like that, by the way. I know that's true. So anyway.
We're talking about rhythm like from a Wii game Just Dance thing, right?
No, actually.
Okay, I'm just going to scrub
just,
my
yes,
whole
you,
notes.
Get rid of your notes. No, you know what? It's just that idea that life feels very chaotic. But
yeah.
The reality is there are rhythms. There are rhythms in your day. For example, at some point, people go to bed. At some point, you're going to eat. I got a buddy and, you know, I'm like, hey, when do you want to get together, Dave? He's like, I eat 3 times a day. Pick one, right? But that's true. It's like you want a breakfast,
good.
Lunch, or dinner. And it's true. We all eat usually 3 times a day or sometimes 4. But anyway, we all eat. And then there are rhythms to life. So the rhythm of your family can change seasonally. So for example, when you're in the preschool years, like you are, Holly, mm-hmm. right? You've got little things you do with your kids, with your girls, right? You'll have craft time or you'll have, no, I'm seeing a big no.
There are efforts at craft time.
There are efforts.
Carry. I'm not sure the end product qualifies as a craft, but there are craft supplies involved.
There are craft supplies involved.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? But maybe do you take them to the park sometimes?
Yes, park.
Or play dates with
You mentioned
friends.
Board games in our last
board
podcast.
Games, yeah.
Board games are so great. We love charades.
Oh, yeah.
We have this preschool charades game. It's just pictures. Mm. And to watch my 4-year-old be a turtle, I'm the only person who thinks it's hilarious, but it really is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
See, that's amazing. That's amazing. So there's rhythm in
right.
your day. We tried crafts with boys too. Yeah, that didn't go particularly well.
Were they breaking things?
Yeah. You know what? My boys never broke stuff because
oh, really?
I'm a little OCD. But
okay.
We trained them, but neighbor kids broke stuff for sure. Yeah,
the neighbor kids.
The neighbor kids.
It's always
broke
the neighbor
stuff.
Kids.
In quotation marks.
Not my kid, right? That's
was,
a whole other.
It was the neighbors.
It was the neighbors. Yeah.
Quotation marks.
So, you know, but they're in that rhythm. And so one of the challenges a lot of, because obviously you want to raise good kids, but you want right. to raise kids that understand that there's a Heavenly Father who loves them. And a lot of parents, And this is the whole big idea behind the Orange strategy, is that the only spiritual infusion, if you're not careful, your kids are ever going to get, happens on a Sunday morning.
Right. Yeah.
And most parents are like, yeah, I don't know where to integrate it, or we're so busy. Well, there is a natural rhythm. And if you go back even to the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses casts a vision for the life of the nation of Israel. And he's like, teach this stuff to your kids when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night.
When you walk along the road.
When you walk along the road.
When you sit down.
And when you sit down. Yep. So when do we do those four things? Well, we sit down for dinner. We had talked about that already, right? Like having dinner on the earlier podcast. Really, oh man, that is a game changer for families and actually for kids. Drug abuse goes down, teen pregnancy goes down, problems with their life goes down. If a family will have dinner four or five nights a week. I travel a lot. I'm busy. We, as an ironclad rule, have dinner together at least five nights a week. And if you can't do dinner because of shift work, do breakfast, do lunch, do whatever you need to do. So there's a rhythm. One of the glorious times of having young kids is putting them to bed at night. Right? Mm. It can be beautiful. You read them bedtime stories.
Which kids are you putting to bed, Carrie? Sometimes I'm sweating after putting my kids to bed.
Wrestling.
It feels like a wrestling match.
Yeah, well, I must admit, here's a bad dad practice. There are seasons where it was chaotic putting our kids to bed. And being the rule guy, I would want them in bed. If it was 7:30, it's like not 7:31, 7:30. And sometimes I would just like ignore bedtime as a bad dad because it was just easier not to do it. And you know what, dads, don't do that. Yep. You're missing out on some great times because that's a season in your kid's life. If you're still tucking your kid into bed at 15 and reading them bedtime stories, you got other issues at that point, right? So it's just a phase. Don't miss it.
Right. Yep.
Because so you've got evening and then you've got drive time. Right? Time that you have in the car.
Right.
And again, in the first podcast on this, I talked about how it was our decision not to put technology in our cars. Even, you know, no DVD players, no, I did not return phone calls. I wasn't texting people because you could build relationship in the car, whether that was on a vacation or whether you're driving to get groceries. You can build relationship in the car. And then,
That's where my kids want to ask the deepest theological questions.
Yes.
In the car.
Really?
Like, Mommy, does God cry? I'm like, okay, all right, well, let me pull over and call someone who knows the answer to that.
I thought you were going to say, let me pull over and cry myself.
Okay, well, that too. Yeah. But there is something disarming about being in a car.
Well, I wonder if that's a phase, though, because I know for me as a dad of teenagers, my girls just put their headphones in.
That's a good point.
And they're out. So what would you do in that instance?
You know what? I would just maybe have a conversation with them and say, I totally get why you want to have your music on and everything's individualized. But like, what do you say for this ride? We just don't do it. What do you say? We just catch up. What do you say? And you kind of establish a new pattern. And so our pattern, we would just have, you know, the central system on in the car.
Yeah.
And there have been headphones for a long, long time. But yeah, that just has become a place where we can have a conversation. And when my son picks me up at the airport tonight, we'll have about an hour to have a great conversation on the way home. And sometimes it's just silence. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. One of the things I've used to get around that, like if we're going on a long trip, I understand they want to have their iPods, they want to have their iPhones, everything. But one of the ways I get around it with my teenage girls is if Meg says, hey, can you go and pick up some milk? I grab one of the girls and say, hey, come with.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant idea.
Because I know it's just going to be a really short drive. I know they're not going to grab anything and it's just going to be us talking. So that's my way of getting around that.
Yeah.
So if I could quickly plug something about Parent Q here at Orange.
Do it.
We have a team here at Orange that focuses on families and trying to resource families and help families out called Parent Q. We have an app. It's called the Parent Q app.
Yeah.
And it actually has some prompts on it. If you download it, it's free. Has some prompts on it, questions you can ask your kids while you're in the car.
And brilliant. I have that app. And the thing that's the feature that I love most because it's so specific to, because once you plug in your kids' details, the prompt that comes up for a conversation starter is exactly at the right age level.
They're phase specific prompts.
So I love that.
Preschoolers are different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely, it's a huge help for me because like if I'm sitting in the carpool line waiting to pick up my kid from high school, for example, I will check the app to know what are we talking about today. It's It's awesome. And that's kind of widening that circle.
So you
want to
know a crazy stat? This one, the first time Reggie shared this with me, Reggie Joyner, I freaked out because that's exactly, I'm glad you mentioned the Parent Q app. It's exactly why we designed it is, again, what's at stake is if the only spiritual development your child has happens in an hour on Sunday morning, then maybe over the course of the year, you've got 40 hours of spiritual development for your kids, where your kids learn about God and their relationship with him. Because almost no family's there 52 Sundays a year, and 40 is a stretch these days.
Right. Mm.
Do you know how much unstructured time an average parent has? I mean, this is when Reggie shared this with me, it blew me away. Because in a situation where, let's say, both parents are working.
Yep.
Let's assume, just to be mean, that everybody gets 8 hours of sleep every single night.
Mm. Sounds amazing.
See the looks on their faces. Wow. Yeah, it's like nobody lives that way.
That sounds
good. Let's just assume. Homeschooling. Kids are in school full time. So both parents working, get 8 hours of sleep a night. Kids are in school full time. How much discretionary time does the average parent have in a year? Over 3,000 hours.
Wow.
If you don't leverage those 3,000 hours, all you've got is 40 hours of development for your kids. So the ParentQ app and some other resources that we produce at Orange, they help parents figure out, how do I leverage that rhythm? What can I do with my preschooler in the morning? What can I do with my teenager in the car? What can I say to my elementary age child at bedtime? Mm. You know, as they're getting out of that, hey, I don't want to be tucked in anymore. Like, what do we do? Those are practical resources and spiritual content and life content that you can share with your kids.
Yep.
And really, that gives you an opportunity to leverage all this time that God has given us. Plus, the wider circle we talked about in the first episode, where other people are building into your kids too. So that's the importance of rhythm. You have a rhythm, whether you think you do or not. And what you want to do is increase the quantity of quality time you spend as a family.
Increase the
quantity of quality time. Because most of us think, okay, I'm a quality time person and I don't work. So the dad stays home, the mom stays home, whatever. I don't work. It's just, I got a quantity time. Yeah. But if you're on Facebook all the time, or you're on Instagram all the time, or you're talking to your friends and you're not paying attention, a quantity of time doesn't automatically mean that you're making a lasting investment in your child. And then there's the A-type driven parent who's like, I work 70 hours a week, 90 hours a week, but those 2 weeks at Disney, they make up for all of it. Well, no, it doesn't. That's like saying 2 weeks at the gym makes up for all of my Chick-fil-A over the course of a year.
Oh, wait, it doesn't?
We're dropping bombs here, Holly.
Man.
Bombs. Sorry.
Knowledge.
sounds like a new Cat Stevens song.
It's a quality of quantity. It's a quantity of quality time.
Right.
And that's what I had to learn.
Yeah. And the great thing is that ParentQ app is available wherever you pick up apps. It's completely free, and it will really help you establish that rhythm and making that rhythm extremely intentional. So
yeah, we should also talk about the weekly resource as well, right? That's another way that parents can get a lot of goodness delivered to their inbox for free every week. Just as, who doesn't need encouragement? I do. I get it.
Yeah.
My kids are grown.
And you know, what I love about all of that is you talked last time about widening the circle and having people around, but we can also widen the circle from a digital point of view as well.
Oh yeah.
And this is just a great 2D way to make the 3D relationship so much more enhanced and much more intentional.
It's true. I mean, help for parents. What parent doesn't want help?
We've discussed widening the circle, imagine the end, fight for the heart, establishing that rhythm. And now the last one, the last principle is make it personal. Carrie, unpack that a little bit for us. What does that look like?
So parenting's a tough phase of life. And most of the parents I know put themselves last. They put themselves last. It's like, my baby comes first, and I'm up first thing in the morning, and I'm up till late at night. And even after, you know, my kids go down, I've got laundry to do. And, you know, so you're cheating yourself on sleep. Let's be honest. When was the last time, Christian parents, you had meaningful time alone with God? How about date night? You know, like, if you had a date night, it's like, no, dating is what we used to do before we had kids. And then, you know, now we barely see each other. We shake hands and we expect to reacquaint ourselves with each other when our youngest is 18.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of the default that a lot of parents end up in. And so the bottom line is this, that it needs to be in you. Like, your faith and the values you want to see in your child need to be in you if you want it to be in them. Now, there are always exceptions to that rule. There are kids who grew up in terrible environments, who have wonderful lives, who love God, who love people. But I think it really helps to have parents who modeled it. I look at my parents and my grandparents, they modeled their faith. It was in them. And ultimately, as a young adult, I wanted it to be in me. And what happens is with a lot of parents, because we put ourselves last, it becomes difficult. So the idea of make it personal is you have to put yourself first when it comes to personal growth. So what does this mean? For me, it's meant over the years, I need to get sleep. It means that I need to have a relationship with God that's actually alive and vibrant. So even this morning, we had a very early morning recording this podcast, you know, I had some devotion time in the hotel room before I headed over to the studio. It means you might have to spell each other off as parents. It might be like, okay, well, you take 20 minutes here and then right. I'll be with the kids and you take 20 minutes here. It means not neglecting your self-care, because at the end of the day, you can't give what you don't have. And a lot of parents are running on fumes. A lot of parents are like, I got nothing left. And listen, I don't know whether this is true for you. Let me just try this out. But I'm at my most kind when I have the most margin in my life. When I don't have a lot of margin in my life, I have a slow temper or short temper. I get upset when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted, when I'm frustrated. You know, then it's like, everything's a big issue.
Yes, and then you end up apologizing to your 4-year-old.
To your 4-year-old, again.
I'm sorry.
Mommy was a child.
Mommy was a monster. Yeah. Yeah. Mommy's going to go take a nap now.
Exactly. But you know what? Here's the reality. It's going to be tough because now you got toddlers, but when they're teenagers, you're going to worry about when are they going to be home? Where are they? What are they doing? Like, it doesn't end. And so you have to make a decision that you're going to take care of yourself. And something, this isn't in the book, but I've been thinking about this a lot since we published it. You know where I think you end up? You end up either doing self-care or self-medication. One of the two.
Right.
And self-medication can be, I just work a lot and I ignore all the problems. And, you know, now I'm launching 5 businesses. So, because then I don't have to go home. Or it could be, you know, the glass of wine becomes 2 glass of wines, becomes 3, becomes 4, becomes, I'm in trouble. Or it could be you're taking prescription medication, not as prescribed. A lot of parents fall into that trap because they can't deal with the chaos, and that is self-medication. And it's a well-documented thing, and Christians are not exempt from that.
Right.
We can all fall into traps. So it's self-medication or self-care.
I think attention parents feel is that that feels selfish.
Yes.
To take care of yourself. I don't know where that message comes from, but it feels, you know, you're just running from fire to fire to fire. And at the end of the day, you're just exhausted. And that feels like one more checkbox or one more thing you're failing at.
Ooh, that's really good.
That is really, really good. So let me ask you this question. Is it more selfish to always apologize to your 4-year-old?
Right.
Or to take an hour away and get some rest? And to be that parent who can be present. Because for me, and I'm not sitting here from a place of righteousness. That's not judgment. That's like self, like self-reflection, right? But when I know when my kids are going to be around, particularly in the teenage years, I had to really rest up and I had to make sure that my tank was full. Because when my tank is full, I'm a much more patient, much less judgmental, better dad that can listen. When my tank is empty, I'm like, just let's deal with this and let's get, you know, I become a different person. So I've learned I had to fill my tank.
So I would love to know, like, I think that principle is awesome. That one hit me really hard. I'm most kind when I have most margin. Kerry, be practical. How do I find margin when I've got a job? My wife's got a job. We've got 3 teenage kids. The school is hassling us for come to this event, go to that event. We have to drive our kids to all these different places. Plus, we have to make time for any outside side hustle that we might have.
Right.
And we have to find time for God as well. Like, I mean, and now you're telling me I have to sleep more. Yeah. Make this practical. How does this become practical for somebody who's super busy?
Let me challenge an assumption, because I live the same life you do. Okay, I get that. You don't have to do any of that.
What do you mean?
You don't have to do any of that. Those are all choices. So we started to realize early on that those are all choices. So, you know, do you feel like FOMO, fear of missing out? All right. Does your child really, first of all, is your child actually going to make it to the major leagues? Is your child actually going to play in the NFL one day? Probably not. All right. But every dad likes to think so. So we made a rule, and we only had 2 kids. We didn't have 4. All right. We only had 2 kids, but it was like, you can do music and you can do one sport in any season. That doesn't mean you can only do one sport over the year, but if you're going to play baseball, you play baseball in baseball season, not baseball and soccer
right.
and football. If you're going to play football, you just play football. And believe it or not, that was plenty. Something I cheated until I burned out about 11, 12 years ago was sleep. And you know what? All the top performers I know, they're not people running on fumes. I talked to a New York Times bestselling author the other day, and I said, how much do you sleep? He says 7-8 hours because I need it. And he, it was John Acuff. He created the 30 Days of Hustle. I mean, he's all about the side hustle. Yeah. I went to bed at 9 o'clock last night and got up at 5 and slept for 8 hours. The more, you know, somebody once said, I want to find the quote for this. I don't know who it is, so I can't attribute it. But 70% of discipleship is a good night's sleep.
Oof.
There's so much truth to that. It's like, it's unfair. But we live in a culture that idolizes busyness. And busyness is not productivity. So what I would encourage you to do is to create a stop doing list, not just a to-do list, but a stop doing list.
That's
what are we
going
to stop doing? What? How are we going to limit our kids' activities? How are we going to limit what we commit to? Because you can only do a few things well. So just do a few things well, and then you can build from there. If you're bored and you're sitting on your back porch going, well, I'm not retired yet, but I feel like it, well, then add something.
Yeah.
But I would say sleep is a great big thing. And I know lots of young moms and dads who, when they're home, if their kid's asleep, they'll sleep. Take it. There's no shame in napping. When you have proper sleep, and the other thing I would say is exercise, whatever you need to do, because I cheated that for years and years and years. And, you know, I've biked over 1,000 kilometers this summer.
I was going to say you're a cyclist.
Yeah, only because I'm more of an eater than I am a cyclist, but I cycle so I can eat. Yeah,
that's good.
But I love it. And you know, you're going to invent 1,000 excuses why it doesn't apply to you.
Mm.
Good for you. But are you happy? Are you thriving? You know, after I burned out, the question I learned to ask myself is this: am I living in a way today that will help me thrive tomorrow?
Mm.
And if the answer is no, not like survive tomorrow, but thrive. If not, why not? And another thing we did, and this is counterintuitive, date nights as often as we could. And that meant hiring a babysitter. And people are like, we don't have money for a babysitter. Well, at some point, you're going to have money for a divorce. So would you rather have money for a divorce or money for babysitting?
That's good.
Then we would go away at least one night a year without our kids
right. Every
year. And by the time our kids were 7 or 8, people are like, we haven't done that in 7 or 8 years. And you know, our marriage went through some tough seasons as well, but I think it's one of the reasons, by the grace of God, we're not only still together, but we love being together today.
That's awesome.
Because we had that time away. And those are counterintuitive, countercultural investments that you make, but it's the opposite of selfish. I think at the end of the day, your kids are rooting for you. They want you to be a mom that's grounded. And they want you to be a dad that's got some margin in his life. They want you to be there for them. And if you're always stressed, like, I think it's the opposite of selfishness.
Right.
Yeah. That's really good, man.
So
I really love. So it's not about just taking it personal as an individual. It's taking it personal as a couple as well.
Oh, yeah. I think so. And so, you know, what do you need to do to cut some stuff out of your life that's just a little bit too busy? And don't cut the fundamentals. Like I would say, don't cut church out. Don't cut small group out. Don't cut, you know, there's lots of other stuff that you can cut out first. And then try to figure out, this goes back to imagining the end.
Mm.
You know, what is going to shape your character? What is going to provide the kind of rhythm that lands you in a place where you are who you want to be a decade from now, 20 years from now?
Wow. I sort of had to just throw out the excuses, because there's always a reason not to. There's always money, time, different obligations, family. You know, I live in the town I grew up in, so my family's around. They're always wanting us to do something. It's okay to say no.
It is okay to say no.
No is an extremely powerful word that I'm just learning in my 30s. But there's always a reason not to do something, not to have time. And so what I've had to learn to do as a mom is to say, okay, I'm going to say yes for my family by saying no to this.
Yeah. That's good.
But I'm saying yes to my daughters and my spouse.
And whenever you say no to something, you should be saying yes to something greater.
That's
and maybe that greater is, I need a nap. Maybe the greater is, I'm going to bed on time tonight. Maybe the greater is, we're going to have family time tonight and a family night or a date night. And I agree with excuses. You know, I've had to teach myself, you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both.
That's great.
So pick. You're going to make excuses, you're going to make progress. And that is binary. That is ones and zeros.
Hey, I'm just going to say to our producer, Kevin, make sure that's in the show notes, dude. That is awesome. You make excuses or you make progress.
But you can't make both.
But you can't that's make great. Both. That's so good. Hey, Kerry, I just want to thank you so much. Like this for me, like this has not just been an opportunity to be part of the podcast here, but this has been helpful for me as a dad.
Me too.
Like, and helpful for me as a husband. Like you've made it personal for me. There has been so much stuff over the last two podcasts that I know I've written tons of notes that I'm going to go back over, and I need to have date night with my wife just to go through all of this. So many good things. I just want to really quickly, like one sentence. I want to get just your one sentence for somebody who's only going to listen to 2 minutes of this podcast. Widen the circle means?
Means pursuing strategic relationships for your kids before they need them so that they're there when they need them.
Imagine the end.
Focus on who you want your child to be, not what you want them to do.
Fight for the heart.
Stop fighting with your family. Start fighting for your family.
Make sure there's rhythm.
Yeah, create a rhythm is increase the quantity of quality time you spend together.
And make it personal.
Put yourself first when it comes to personal growth.
Karen Newhoff, you are a genius.
I don't know about that. Reggie and I worked on this a lot together. And you know what? A lot of this is self-instruction.
Yeah.
I'm not natural at this stuff. This is a corrective course for me as a parent. And even as a parent of two adult children now, I'm still learning this stuff and I need it. I need to keep fighting for my kids, not with my kids, for my marriage, not with my marriage. I need to, I'm an entrepreneur. I could spend all my time doing stuff that is not the most important thing I could do with my life.
That's awesome. Well, I just want to thank you, Kerry. Thank you, Holly, for being here in the bunker with us. Man, that was such a great interview. I literally took pages and pages of notes. Kerry's got so much parenting wisdom behind what he had to share across those two episodes. But from today, man, there was so much. That rhythm part that he was talking about. Kevin's dad, I struggle with the rhythm thing. But I loved what Kerry had to say about just, you know, talking about faith when you're driving around with your kids from pickup and everything like that. And getting into that rhythm of just constantly sharing your faith. What did you think of that?
Good stuff.
Brilliant. Thanks for that insightful commentary. No, it was so good. I love the bit about 70% of discipleship is sleep. Oh my gosh, stop doing lists. There was so much stuff there. I'm sure that you took a lot of notes as well. In fact, if you did take a lot of notes, we would love if you could tweet them out. You know, we just want so many other people, so many other parents to be influenced by this great content that Kerry shared with us all today. Hey, and while you're doing that, while you're on Twitter, while you're on the social media, Kevin's dad, what are you on social media?
Sometimes.
Well, you're on social media. Why don't you take the opportunity to leave a rating and a review on iTunes while you're there as well? Why don't you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts? But we would love a review on the iTunes podcast, whether you're reviewing the content, whether you're reviewing Ashley singing, or the outrageous personality that is Kevin's dad. Make sure that you leave a review. That just helps us get this content out to more people. Also, check out the show notes. You can find them on thinkorangepodcast.com. thinkorangepodcast.com. That's where you'll get a whole bunch of extra notes about Kerry and how you can contact him, how you can get some of the resources that have been mentioned in today's show. And make sure you also share this with a friend. Kevin's dad, who are you going to share this with? Have you got a friend that you could potentially share this with who needs some help with parenting?
Yes.
Okay, so there we have it. That is a great episode. Thank you, Kevin's dad, for your invaluable contributions to this podcast today. Can't wait to listen next week when Ashley will be back with us. So we're going to have a lot of fun then. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of laughing. Maybe we can slip Kevin's dad into this a little bit more if we can find time for that large personality. It is awesome stuff. Thanks so much for listening. If you've got any questions, please feel free to reach out to us on the thinkorangepodcast.com, thinkorangepodcast.com. There's a spot there where you can talk to us and tell us what you want to hear more of. Hey, so thanks so much for joining us. And as always, let's see if Kevin's dad can get involved in this one. Whenever you think next generation,
think on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Orange podcast.
Join us next time for more ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
For more episodes and show notes, visit thinkorangepodcast.com.